Welcome and thank you for joining us. At Worship Harvest, we believe that we are a movement of the gospel, discipleship, and mission. And we are committed to catalyzing spiritual, social, and economic renewal in our immediate communities. And as a result, the world. Here is this week's teaching.
Well, there was a job advert that came up for radio DJ, and I so badly wanted it. So I went and started working on my voice for it. And then I didn't get the job. So all I'm left with is a cold and a bad voice without the radio job. But God is good. Our first-time guests, you're very welcome. Thank you for joining us at Garage today. We are excited about you. We will hope to have a minute with you after service. You just go through this door. There will be a beautiful lady waving a placard saying first-time guests. It is a safe space, and there are drinks, and I suspect snacks. Just go for only 10 minutes, and then you'll go home. Our second-time guests, you're welcome. Yeah, seriously, as in, thank you for coming. Our third-time guests, please sign up to serve on a team. Now, the way my sermon is supposed to be, anyway, let me stay with it. So today we start the countdown to the 18th anniversary of Worship Harvest Ministry. The 18th anniversary of Worship Harvest is always celebrated in the first weekend of April. And this year, it's going to be a very, very, very special thing. So I want you to start preparing for it. And so I want you to invite all your friends for the different Sundays as we count down. Now what's going to happen is that on that weekend, unless something changes, if all the resources and needed things align with the vision we have, we're going to have a 50-hour worship event for 50 hours. Now it won't be the same band. People will come and go, but we'll start on Friday evening all the way to Sunday evening, just worshiping Jesus, who has made this church what it is. Amen. So whatever time you come in that weekend, morning, afternoon, evening, some of you say we are morning people, we have you covered. Some of you say I'm a night owl, we have you covered. Those who like it when it's hot, we have you covered. Those who like it when it's cold, we have you covered. So, but that's what's going to happen. And so watch out for that. And I believe we are following instruction from the Lord to have a Thanksgiving Sunday, the first Sunday of every month. And we always follow it with what we call a week of spiritual emphasis. So always watch out for that when it comes. What really it is you pray a little bit more than usual and you eat a lot less than usual. Once you do those two things, you are having a week of spiritual emphasis, whether you know it or not. I bless you. You're blessed. Now, I'm going to ask you to stand up and we read Jeremiah 30, 17 to 22 together. Are you ready to read? Because of this radio job that I was trying to get, I would actually need like someone like Pastor Mali to have a microphone to keep helping me with things like reading and other such things. The worship team are wondering why I didn't choose one of them. It's the language. I love you, worship team. Aren't they like the best? Pastor Mali, lead us as we read from verse 17 to 22 without stopping. Let's go.
All right. For I will restore health to you and heal you of your wounds, says the Lord. because they called you an outcast, saying, "This is Zion, no one seeks her." Thus says the Lord, "Behold, I will bring back the captivity of Jacob's tents and have mercy on his dwelling places. The city shall be built upon its own mound, and the palace shall remain according to its own plan. Then out of them shall proceed thanksgiving and the voice of those who make merry. I will multiply them, and they shall not diminish. I will also glorify them, and they shall not be small. Their children also shall be as before, and their congregation shall be established before me. And I will punish all who oppress them. Their nobles shall be from among them, and their governor shall come from their midst. Then I will cause him to draw near, and he shall approach me. For who is this who pledged his heart to approach me, says the Lord? You shall be my people, and I will be your God."
Amen. The Bible says that rejoice at your word as one who finds great treasure. So can I hear some rejoicing at the word of God? Amen. So Father, we thank you for your word. For the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. And we believe that today, while we are here, in this building and other buildings wherever we meet, and those who are online, we will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Please have your seats. Wow. So Jeremiah was a prophet who prophesied the things that people did not want to hear. Okay? You can also be a prophet who prophesies what people want to hear. But this time, everything was bad, bad, bad. They tried to put him in prison. They put him in a well. Have you ever been in a well? And all of that. So that he can change his message. Some of you, they've done one or two things and you've changed your message. Jeremiah refused to change his message. He's like, "No, no, no, guys. This is what the Lord says. You're going to be beaten by the Babylonians and you're going to go into exile because you have fully fulfilled the conditions for going." Now, thank God, because he has put all our the chastisement for our peace was upon him. Nowadays, we don't get what we deserve. Yeah. Rather, Jesus took all our sin upon him, all our sickness upon him, all our sadness upon him, for having done nothing wrong. And then he gave us his own life. He gave us his own health. He gave us his own joy. Are there believers in this church? He has given us all the great things we don't deserve and has taken away from us all the bad things that we deserve. That's the difference between Christianity and religion. In religion, everyone is still trying to make God happy. And God is very difficult to make happy on your own terms. In Christianity, Jesus made God happy permanently. He put him in a permanent state of delirium. So when he looks at you, he sees Christ. That's why he says we are in Christ, in him. Ephesians chapter 1 says we are in him. Are you understanding? So even as we look at this text, I don't want you to start thinking, "Huh, what a shock. Am I going into exile?" No, you're not going into exile. Oh, thank God. I mean, if it was up to what you do, you would have gone to exile 28 times already. They would ask you, "What country are you?" And say, "I don't know. I've been to so many. Where are we now?" But because of Jesus, you don't have to go through what those people went through. I'm just giving you the context. But anyway, so that was Jeremiah's general vibe. And then once in a while, he would drop in some hope. Something like, "But you will come back." Yeah, it's not like you will not go. No, you are going, but you will come back. And then he would give the timeline. Do you know the timeline he gave? 7 years. That's why the people were like, "Beat him. I mean, we will come back in 7 years. I will not be alive. What are you talking about?" Those who are not happy, in this church we are happy. The whole time. Okay? Yeah. Also Luke 5:17 says that now it happened as he was teaching on a certain day that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of God was present to heal them. That scripture is in the healing pack, which also means that when teaching is going on, there is the power of God present to heal. And that's what happens in this church. People get healed just listening to the word. You get healed physically. You get healed emotionally. You get healed financially. You get healed relationally. Ah, what a blessing. And the reason that happens is because we are still operating under the ministry of Jesus, and then you are not a Pharisee or a teacher of the law. So that simplifies things. Praise God. Yeah, some people, when they are joyful, you have to launch an investigation to find out if they are, because it doesn't show. But those are the people who are online, and the people they didn't come. Yeah, even the people online are joyful. So it says, so that was Jeremiah's general vibe. Once in a while, he would bring in a hope like this, and you're like, what did he say? He said something positive. Then it hits the Jerusalem Post. Like, the prophet finally said something hopeful. What a shock. So, this is the text I chose for our Thanksgiving. Something. Radio job. Where Jeremiah said something great. So, he's prophesying and says, I will restore health to you and heal you of your wounds, says the Lord. Because they called you an outcast, saying this is Zion, no one seeks out. You know that Bible typology, the church is Zion. This morning we are going a little bit deeper on the theology and the thought processes. So you may be wondering at what point you lift your chair. Yeah. Then you realize your chair is connected to your neighbor's chair. So if you lift your chair, you might take others along. So careful now. So this is a prophetic promise for the restoration of health to you, someone here this morning. Because we were going to start at verse 19, and I just felt the Holy Spirit tell me, go back to verse 17, because there are people who need this scripture. And the Lord is telling you right now, not tomorrow, right now, I will restore health to you. And I will heal you of your wounds, says the Lord. Who will do it? The Lord. Now, it doesn't matter how you got yourself into that sticky situation. God wants to heal you. Amen. Jesus went about, the Bible says, he went about, Galilee. Teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. That was the ministry of Jesus. He was just healing all over, everywhere he went. Acts 10:38 says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who are oppressed by the devil, for God was with. Now, guess who's here this morning? Jesus. He said, where two or three or more are gathered in my name, I'll be in your midst. And he has not changed his ministry. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And even this morning, there is healing power in the name of Jesus. I want to suggest to you that God has not intended for you to acclimatize yourself to the condition that you're facing. The woman with the issue of blood didn't say, If I can only come near him, then I will have peace while I go through the enduring of the sickness. She said, if I may but only touch the hem of his garment, I will be made well. Where Jesus is, people are made well. I'm preaching better than you're listening. Yeah, and don't go into, so-and-so didn't get healed, or the other person also didn't get healed. Look, if you go into all that thing, it's not going to work. You see, when Jesus came to the pool, what was that pool? There are many pools. Bethesda. He got only one guy who had been there 38 years. He said, you want to be made well? He said, pick up your bed and walk. Look, he was skipping over people who have been there many, many years and weeks and months. And he went to this one person and said, pick up your bed and walk. Because he could tell this guy was going to have faith to be healed. And the guy picked up his bed. Can you imagine? Everyone is watching like, where is so-and-so taking this bed? And they left on a Sabbath, moreover. So don't start talking about those who didn't get healed. No, 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 no. He wants to heal you. Only believe. Only believe. Yeah. Christianity without healing is fake Christianity. Because Christ was a healer. Is this worship service? Oh. I'm saying Christianity without healing is fake Christianity. The ministry of Jesus was healing. Paul, saying. The Bible says at Lystra, there was a man who had been a cripple from birth. And while Paul was preaching, he looked at him and he knew that he had faith to be healed. Now, Paul wasn't preaching about healing. He was preaching about Christ. But while he was preaching, that's why I told you, preaching is powerful. You know, sometimes we go to church, we want entertainment. Church is not for entertainment. How many times do you see Jesus putting on a show? He went about dancing, entertaining, and whatever. No, he was just talking and while healing was. So Paul at Lystra was talking about Jesus, and there was this man. And the man received faith to be healed. And he just looks at him and says, stand up and walk. And he went. So that shall be you. You will be a person who is at the front when it comes to receiving from God. You know, it is one thing God giving everything. It's another receiving. And we as a people have to learn how to receive from God. Because many times we feel we are not deserving. You think, oh, I only read 2 verses. Well, I mean, the man at Lystra didn't have a Bible. So he hadn't read 1 verse. So don't try to qualify yourself. It is God who qualifies you. Amen. Sometimes I just have to walk around here so I can walk near my wife. But you shall also sit with your spouse in the services soon. Yeah, those who don't have you will soon be sitting with your shibubu. Just like that. Just like that. I feel good. This is a good church. This is a good church. Even if I wasn't the pastor, I would come to this church. Sit down. Are you tracking? Verse 18. Jeremiah. Thus says the Lord, behold, I'll bring back the captivity of Jacob's tents and have mercy on his dwelling places. The city shall be built upon its own mound, and the palace shall remain according to its own plan. Now, give me the Amplified Classic, the NLT, and the Message, then I'll tell you something. Are you following? Okay, AMPC, let's read. Thus says the Lord, behold, I will release from captivity the tents of Jacob and have mercy on his dwelling places. The city will be rebuilt on its own old mound-like site, and the palace will be dwelt in after its former fashion. Next. NLT. 1, 2, we read.
And restore their fortunes. Jerusalem will be rebuilt on its ruins and the palace reconstructed as before.
My reader was starting to focus too much on her husband. So I needed to remind her that please pick up the mic and read. Stop, you know. The message, let's read.
Again, God's message. I'll turn things around for Jacob. I'll compassionately come in and rebuild homes. The town will be rebuilt on its old foundations. The mansions will be splendid again.
Wow. So he's talking about how he's going to restore them. Now, I'm going to share with you something quite cerebral. Do you mind? As it, you know, switch on. One of these days, I need to change the people who sit at the front. Because there are people who keep you in the spirit. Now, he's talking about how they will return and how Jerusalem will be rebuilt. Okay? And this is a very, very important verse if you know other things that surround it. So I'm going to take a minute and explain to you. So the way they returned after 70 years, you know, there was all this. Then they started coming back during the reign of Cyrus. Yeah. The way they returned in three phases. They all didn't come back as one group. Now, the first group was led by a gentleman called Zerubbabel. Do you have anyone called Zerubbabel in the house? See, this is how people miss out on blessings. Instead of naming their children biblical names, they go for... I will not go there. So, Zerubbabel led the first group. And their task, the thing they focused on, it's very important to understand what they focused on. The first group focused on rebuilding the temple. That was what they did. They rebuilt the temple. That gentleman called Zerubbabel. Most people don't know about him because he doesn't have a book in the Old Testament. There is no book, the book of Zerubbabel. It's not there. Don't bring it up in Bible competition. But that was the first leader who brought people back from exile. So they came, they rebuilt the temple. So they restored temple worship. Okay. The second group was led by Ezra. At least we have Ezra. So Ezra was a priest, and when he brought back this group, their whole focus was to teach people the law. Because they had been away for 70 years. When Nebuchadnezzar took them, he took all the nobles, the educated people. He left behind people who really didn't know how to lead themselves. So by the time they come back, these people are living completely like non-Israelites. They had mixed marriages, all sorts of chaos. So Ezra comes and they start teaching them the law to help them repent from the way they were living to start following God. Are we together? We are still together. Completely together. Now the last group was led by Nehemiah. You've heard of him as well. So Nehemiah, when he came, their focus was to rebuild the city and the city walls. And when I was thinking through this series of returns, it started occurring to me that this is the same way God renews communities. This is the same pattern that God uses. And this is the same thing that he has led us to do. One, we go and plant a church. That's like rebuilding the temple. Plant it and hopefully establish it by building a building. That's stage one. Stage two, the congregation that forms in that church, you start teaching them the word of God. Because when there's no church, you can't teach people repeatedly. You can only throw some things at them here and there. But consistent teaching, so that people start walking with God and becoming powerful people. And then the third stage is when you start rebuilding the communities and the cities. Are you understanding? It's too quiet. Are you understanding? So those are the three stages we are using in Worship Harvest in terms of our community engagement. We go somewhere, plant a church, try and buy some land, build a building, and then start teaching people. And as people's lives are changed, their marriages are healed, they are reconnected, their economies pick up, they start working with God, they do evangelism, they learn how to serve, they learn how to lead. There are many people, the first place they ever led is Worship Harvest. They had never led anyone. They were not even a class monitor. Now they're a zonal pastor. Don't mention names. But you know yourselves. And as you do that, now it starts to impact the community. As we go out and do frontiers, evangelism, as we change our workplaces, our families, that is the pattern. Are you following? I thank God for the temperature today. It's nice. Now let's get to the fun part, because today is Thanksgiving. Because everyone is like, this is a Thanksgiving service? Why is that guy talking about strategy? Because I just took you through strategy. But some of you didn't click. Plant a church, teach the people, change the community. That's the strategy. When the missionaries came, that's the strategy they used. They planted the church, taught the people. The first thing they had to teach the people was, those of you who are using your Chinese phone, you might miss this, was they had to teach them to read and write. Do you know why? Because Christianity is a book religion. If you can't read the Bible, it's like you can't really be a Christian, because everything is in the Word. That's why they set up schools. That's why in those old schools where your grandfather went, there was someone called the Musomesa. The Musomesa was also the leader of the church. The leader of the church was also the leader of the school. Because there's nothing like an ignorant Christian. That's an oxymoron. Ignorant Christian is an oxymoron. Yeah. Once you say I am a follower of Jesus, you are expected to read. For yourself, otherwise you'll be taken to the for right. They will tell you that now Jesus has another brother and a sister, and what? And their grandchildren are here. That's why you must read your Bible yourself. These things of my pastor said, they don't work. Yeah, your pastor is just showing you. That's why for me, when I'm teaching, I'm putting the scriptures on the screen. So you go home with something to research. Like the Bereans, who were more noble than those of where? Thessalonica or somewhere. Because they went and checked these things to see whether they were true. But I see a lot of Bereans all over the place. Now, verse 19, let's get to the fun part. Then
shall proceed thanksgiving and the voice of those who make merry. I will multiply them, and they shall not diminish. I will also glorify them, and they shall not be small.
This is our anchor scripture for this morning. Then out of them shall what? Proceed thanksgiving. And the voice of those that make merry. Wow. This is the thing. He says, when those people come back, instead of complaining about 70 years of exile, they will just start giving thanks. And this is what I will do. I will multiply them, and they shall not be few. Other verses, that's what other translations say. They shall not be few. I will also glorify them, and they shall not be small. Now, I'm giving you the key to growing your missional community. And your zone. And your family. Thanksgiving is a multiplier. When Jesus was given 5 bands, okay, loaves, and 2 fish, he didn't say, "My Father in heaven, what are we going to do? Look at all these people and this little bread. Do something about our situation." What does the Bible say? He took them, he gave thanks, broke them, and gave to his disciples. And the disciples gave to that multitude. That's also a good scripture for those who are teaching disciples. It can never get to the multitude if it doesn't get to the disciples. Jesus didn't give to the multitude. He gave to the disciples who gave to the multitude. That's why we have missional committees in this church. You can watch all the sermons on YouTube all you want. Your life will never be transformed until you have a real human being that you can follow. I am preaching good. Thank you. I feel it. Look, Amplified Classic and then ESV. ESV, Alwa. English Standard Version. Then I'll tell you 2 other interesting versions. Let's look, Amplified Classic. One. Wait. Do you like the word?
Oh, yes.
Are you sure?
Oh, yes.
It is working in you.
Oh, yes.
Out of them, city and palace will come songs
thanksgiving.
Of thanksgiving and voices of those who make merry. Let's stop there. Because now, when we say thanksgiving and the voice of those who make melody, some of you are just writing thanksgiving notes.
Okay.
Your mouth is shut, you're writing notes. No. So, where is my text? Songs. Songs. And I want to commend you because not last week, the other Thanksgiving message, the last one of last month, we told you, start coming early for praise and worship. Don't be that backslidden Christian who only comes for the sermon, and so you know so much, but you're so weak to do anything about it. Because Christianity is not for knowing only. It is an experience. You know, you can hear something and you know you need to do it, but you don't have the spiritual strength to do it because you came for the sermon but you missed the worship. Yeah, because the worship is where you have an encounter with God, so that everything you're hearing, it is going to your spirit, not your brain. Because if you get too much word without a relationship with God, you become a Pharisee. And when you become a Pharisee, you find that you know everything wrong about everyone except yourself, of course. That's why we must maintain hearts of children, like King David, who danced around until his... I don't think he was wearing trousers, because I don't see how you dance your trousers off. It must have been something else. Yeah, whatever it was. Are we understanding? Give me back that text. Shall come songs of thanksgiving and the voices of those who make merry. And I will multiply them and they will not be few. Your zone will not be few. Your MC shall not be few. Your clients and customers in your business shall not be few. Your employees shall not be few. Your family shall not be few. Your church, your location shall not be few. And says, I will also glorify them, and they will not be small. Give us English Standard Version. Change the version. Let's read together. Out of them shall come songs of thanksgiving, and the voices of those who celebrate. The scripture is becoming clearer. Celebrate. I will multiply them and they shall not be few. I will make them honored.
And they shall not be small.
Oh, yes. You shall be honored. You shall not be a small person. You know, when they say the big man is coming, they don't mean size kilograms. When they say the big man is coming, they are talking about someone with a lot of influence. That shall be you. I don't know whether they say the same for women. I've never heard someone say the big woman is coming. What do they say for ladies? The boss lady. When they say the boss lady is coming, you are the one. You're the one they'll be talking about. Come on now. Woo! Thanksgiving. Celebration. Songs. Oh yeah. This is the spiritual way to ascendance. You see, the things of the spirit are exactly opposite the things of the world. You realize that in the world, the more important a person is, the more serious they are supposed to look. Yeah. There are people, I will tell you, you've never seen them laughing or joking or what in public. Because of the position they hold, they are supposed to look like. But in the kingdom, the higher you go, do you know Jesus was a very happy person? The Bible says he rejoiced in himself. In himself. Let's look. Do you want more versions? By the time I'm done with this verse, we'll be almost ready to go home. NRSVA. Which one is that one? New Revised Standard Version. Let's read.
Out of them shall come thanksgiving
and the sound of merrymakers. Yay! Yes. It's the drama of what's going on. I said merrymakers. 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 He says, I'll make them many.
Many.
They shall not be few. I'll make them honored.
They shall
and they shall not be disdained. No more shall they look at you and say, this is not an important person.
Yeah.
No, no, when you come in, people will be like, yes, sir, how can we serve you? Yes, ma'am. We are here for you. Just, people, just thanksgiving. Just celebration. Ah. Oh. Let me show you one more verse, one more version. This one is interesting because it was written by a scholar called Young. Was it Philip Young or something? It's called the Young's Literal Translation. So it doesn't read like English. Because it's a literal translation of word for word from Hebrew to English. Or from Greek to English. So it says, and gone forth from them hath thanksgiving and the voice of playful ones. Tell your neighbor, you're too serious to tap into this thing. Hey, yeah. The voice of playful ones. That's the literal meaning when he says the voice of those who make merry. He's talking about the voice of playful ones. The more playful a person is, the more humble they are. Oh, yes. First, sit down and I tell you this one, I'm going to lean into it whether you like it or not. Because some people, they are like trying to scare me with their faces. You're trying to scare me with your faces. You don't know that seriousness equals pride. That's why Jesus said the kingdom is for children. Why? They are humble. What do you know about children? They are always playing. Yesterday we came with one of our family members. We had a full day here. But you know, there is a playground here. So by the time we are catching up in the evening, I'm like, are these the same clothes I saw you wearing in the morning? Wow. And that's the kingdom. That's the kingdom. Playful ones. There's something I want to say, but I don't know whether I should say it. Should I say it?
Right here.
You know, this whole seriousness is what destroys marriages. People who used to be playful, touch me, I touch you, doing hide and seek in the bedroom. Kagobako. Kauna. Now the wife has become like the Ancient of Days. What a shock. You know, people, when even you are no longer even ticklish. What a shock. Your friend comes trying to, you are there like a statue. Who is that one trying to scare me? I'm here trying to save your marriage. You are not the Ancient of Days. The Ancient of Days is only one is in heaven. Yeah, if you are in a marriage, it doesn't work when you are like, you didn't write the book of Lamentations. Your friend is trying to tell you something sweet. Are you understanding? People don't click jokes. Just for you, your life is one serious continuum. It's like, please, relax. Your home is not a military academy. I know you want all the cops lined up with the handles facing one direction and all the socks hanging around. Please. In there, no, it is called a home. It's a home. It's a home. Not a camp. The husbands. Today I'm talking about the wives. Why? Why is that one telling me I have to talk about husbands? That not for husbands will come. Today is for wives. Because I know that wives are usually the ones who spoil these things by... You want to become a mother to your husband. What? What now? Learn before you get there. And don't get there, then you become that thing that I'm talking about. You know? Yeah, marriage doesn't work with two people who are trying to look very... They only talk when they are paying bills. But that shall not be you. Far from you. You are the joyful one. You are the playful one. Sit down. Hey, you people, time. Verse 20. Their children also shall be as before, and their congregation shall be established before me, and I will punish all who oppress them. Verse 21, I'll finish here. Their nobles shall be from among them, and their governor shall come from their midst. Then I'll cause him to draw near, and he shall approach me. For who is this who pledged his heart to approach me, says the Lord. Wow. So from a state of captivity and being led by oppressors who worship other gods. Remember, if you've read Daniel and all those books, you know they told them, you have to bow before this thing. You have to do this. You have to eat this food that you are not supposed to eat. And says, when he redeems them, and as they are giving thanks, as the voice of melody is going forth, they shall not be led by foreigners. They shall not be led by those. Some of you in your workplaces, your boss has different beliefs from you. And so sometimes you are wondering, do I follow Jesus at this point or do I keep my job? And as you understand what I'm talking about and get into thanksgiving and the voice of those who make merry, the playful ones who celebrate, things are going to start lining up. See, he says their nobles shall be from among them, and their governor shall come from their midst. It shall be outsiders. You know, in a certain continent that I will not name, people get a sense that they got the worst deal of everything, the worst deal of leaders in all spheres. So when they feel like they're having an inspiring conversation in any area, be it politics or business, or even church, they are always talking about leaders from other places. When was the last time you had a business conversation that is supposed to be inspiring, and you're not talking about Elon Musk or Bill Gates or Jeff Bezos or what? Because now the leaders, you see, a leader is not necessarily like your boss. A leader is whoever is influencing you. Because leadership is influence. By the time, the only people that can influence you positively are from another continent, another country. It means that it's as if you're in captivity. You can't even look at your own product and say, this is good, it's made here. Am I making sense? But God is changing that story. God is raising you up as a leader of God's people in the marketplace when they are looking for case studies of wonderful businesses or wonderful churches or wonderful leaders in the civic space. You shall be one they talk about. No more shall they only talk about people from other continents. You will be talked about. Look, we are not here to just waste time and go to heaven. No, we are here to bring heaven on earth. And we will get it done by the grace of God. Amen. Yeah, determined to write a different story. Let people not say, there's no hope in Africa. No. Who said? We will write it. It says their nobles shall come from among them. Their governor shall be in their midst. Do you understand? Now, this last part is very important. So you have to stand up as I tell it to you. Are you enjoying the message? We are finishing. This is Thanksgiving Sunday. Fiona. Look at the NIV. Give us the New International Version, and I'll show you something that the Holy Spirit showed me. Their leader will be one of their own. Their ruler will arise from among them. I will bring him near and he will come close to me. For who is he who will devote himself to me, declares the Lord. You can look at this so many different ways, but here is one of the most serious, like, overarching ways to look at it. Remember, Jeremiah is talking to people who have been in exile. And this story is repeated so many times in the Bible. It's like a common thread of life. Remember Israel in Egypt and needing to come out. Then people going to exile and needing to come out. So you can have that at a grand scale, or at a minimal scale, or at a universal scale. And here's a universal scale. All of us, because of the sin of Adam, we are rendered exiles from the economy of heaven. We became sinners, cut off from God, and we were oppressed by Satan. Satan was like, you know, if you think about it, like Pharaoh is a picture of Satan, Nebuchadnezzar is a picture of Satan, and what God is doing is always trying to get people out, and we go there willingly by our whatever, and then God pulls us out. Am I making sense? Now, when he says their leader shall be from among them, he's speaking prophetically about the fact that we will have one. You see, the way they sent Moses to get Israel out, and the way they sent Zerubbabel, Ezra, and Nehemiah to get Israel out again, they sent Jesus to get us out. And he says, their leader shall be among them. That's what he says. He's the firstborn of many brethren. Can you imagine? Can you imagine that Jesus is not someone far off, but one of us? And this is the most amazing revelation. that we who were sinners and cut off and under oppression of Satan and wherever have been brought near. That's why I said, who will come near? Because he's a firstborn. Give me that verse, please. Firstborn among many brethren. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Just close your eyes and give thanks to God for the unspeakable gift of Jesus. If we can be thankful for anything today, we can be thankful for Jesus. That's why we worship. That's why we celebrate. Even when sometimes things are not going according to plan, we celebrate and worship because we know we have one who will never abandon us, one who will never forsake us, one who is leading us to our destiny, one who is inspiring us, one who is healing us, one who is lifting us, one who is giving us a hope and a future. Oh, yes. Thank you, Lord. Oh, we bless you, Jesus. Oh, we honor you, Lord. May your name be praised forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. We thank you. Thank you. Our voices are lifted heavenward to give you praise. Because you're wonderful. And friends, in this moment, if you've never made a public declaration to follow Jesus, if you've never accepted him as your Lord and Savior, I want to give you an opportunity as we are closing this service. We are going to have a Thanksgiving celebration just after this. But just before then, I really want you to be anchored on the truth of what Christ has done for you. So you are never subjected to the schemes of this world. Amen. So as everyone is praying, you're saying, Pastor, that's me. Pray for me. I want to receive Jesus. I'm going to ask at this point, you don't walk around. Let's not walk around at this time. This is a holy moment. People are making a decision. People are in the valley of decision. So it's a time to be still in the presence of the Lord. If you're saying, Pastor, that's me, maybe you are online, maybe you are in one of our hosting centers, or you are in another location, just put your hand up and I'll pray for you to receive Christ this morning. Just put it up until I've seen it. Don't put it down until I've seen it. I need to see your hand. Thank you, my sister. I see that hand. Someone else? Anyone else? Anyone else? Oh, yes, I see that hand too. I see that hand, my brother. Just put it up straight where you are until I've seen it. Awesome. Anyone else? This is the day of salvation. I see that hand. Thank you. God bless you. Oh, yes. Come. Could you come and I just pray with you? God bless you, sir. Thank you so much. Just stand here with me. Oh, you're welcome. Pastors, can you come and stand with these wonderful people? God bless you, my sister. Oh, come on. God bless you, my sister. You're blessed. God bless you. Keep coming. Keep walking. Band, help me here, please. People are making a very important decision to receive Jesus. God bless you, ma'am. Keep coming. Don't let anyone hold you back. God bless you, sir. There's more people coming. More people are coming. More people are coming. Wherever you are, just start walking. Just come. This is your Father's house. Nothing to fear. Nothing to worry about. He's inviting you. The same way I'm stretching my hand and calling you forth. He's calling you forth. He's saying, I want to give you a hope and a future. I want to get you out of exile. I want to give you access to the Father in heaven, who will give you access to everything. We will wait for you. Don't worry. If you're upstairs, we will wait for you. Just keep coming. Just keep coming. Just keep coming. Can you hear me? Ask your neighbor. Sometimes people feel like, this is a big place. That's so far. Me, I will make my decision quietly. No, don't make it quietly. Jesus said, whoever acknowledges me before men, I will acknowledge him before my Father. Whoever denies me before men, I will deny him before my Father. So don't take the risk of quiet salvation. It doesn't work. Everyone that Jesus called, he called publicly. He called publicly. So don't do quiet salvation. God bless you, sir. Keep coming, wherever you are. Don't let anyone scare you. Welcome. Anyone else? Meanwhile, you people, have you talked to your neighbors? Oh, you're being mean. Are you being generous with the message? Have you shared with someone? If you see anyone coming, don't let them walk alone. Make sure you walk with them. Here we believe you will never walk alone. You're doing the right thing. You're doing the right thing. God bless you. If anyone is coming, walk with them. God bless you. God bless you. Anyone else? Their leader shall be from among them. We will not allow Satan to rule us anymore. He never shed any blood for us. He never sacrificed his life for us. No. But rather the one who loved us and gave himself for us, we will give our lives to him. Amen. Can you help me celebrate these wonderful people? Awesome. Can you just pray with me? Just pray what I pray. Just put your hand in your chest. Say, Lord Jesus,
this morning,
I accept you.
I accept
you as my Lord and Savior.
As my Lord and Savior.
I'm not ashamed to call you my God.
To call you my God.
Today,
I come to you.
I acknowledge you. That you died for me. And you were raised for me. Forgive me my past. And give me a future. That is so bright. With you. Amen. Can we celebrate them? Okay. This is Trevor. He wants you to write your names just there at that table so that we can follow you up and give you a call. Can we ask, appreciate them? Can we? Hey, appreciate them, people. Wow, what a blessing. Wow. Aren't you glad?
I'm glad.
Now, we are going into Thanksgiving and dedication and I'm out of time. But if you want to start a mission or community, you have always thought about it, or even your MC leader told you, I see in you a mission or community, or your zonal pastor has texted you things along those lines, I want to pray for you personally. This is the only opportunity I have. I may not be able to find you elsewhere. I want to pray for you personally as you launch your mission or community, hopefully this week. Anyone? We'll show you what to do. Don't worry. Hey, this is going to be one of the most powerful mission or communities. Oh, yes. Led by Esther. Someone else. You want to start an MC? Come. Come, let me pray for you. Oh, yes. Ma. Wow. Who else is starting a mission or community? Come, let's pray. So you can launch in power. Oh, yes. Here is someone else. These are the most powerful MCs. My goodness. More people are coming. You know, there are people you look at and you think they must be a zonal pastor or they're a location pastor. I just didn't know. Naye, they are launching them big time mission of communities. Who else is coming? Bambi, don't send someone. They need to come by their own. On their own. Thank you. You've rescued. Because I was like, five sisters versus one brother. Brothers, what's going on? Awesome. So we have 7 new MCs coming up. Let's pray for this wonderful zonal pastors. Come and just put your hands on their shoulders. Oh yes, this is wonderful. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for your children as they launch these MCs. We bless them. Give them wisdom. Give them power. Use them mightily. Give them resources. Give them ability to lead. Give them capacity. And bring many, 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 many people into their MCs. And may they multiply. And one day may they find disciples all across the world who will have come out of the disciples in their missional committees. In Jesus' name, amen. And friends, may God bless you. May He cause His face to shine on you. May He give you peace. And may the blessing of God, the Father, Almighty, the Son, the Holy Spirit, rest upon you. Make a way for you. Open doors for you. Heal you. Protect you. And may you see the goodness of the Lord in this, the land of the living. In Jesus' name, amen. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all now and forever. Amen. Yo, thank you for coming. God bless you. YXP starting at 11:40.
Thank you for listening to this teaching. We hope that you've been blessed by the Worship Harvest Sermon Series. For more teachings and other resources, visit www.worshipharvest.org or call 0393-281-555. That is 0393-281-555. We're taking territory.